be like, click here to end.
Warning. Or like cat lovers only, click here. But I'm not even worried about a skeleton. Like a
skeleton. I think you should be worried about skeletons. But the virus could, in fact, help preserve them more, longer.
Now that's impossible.
When did you become a ninja where you can just climb anything?
Maybe I would try to launch a couple chairs at the tiger.
There's a lot. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a great writer here, but look.
You don't see me going up into the Himalayan mountains and trying to pretend I'm a Yeti, man. That's just not going to happen.
And that's probably a wrong fact, but I think that's true.
So where were we?
Okay, so I'll give the backstory for those who to refresh from
part two.
So from what we found out, John is a cabin boy. Well, he's a young boy, 16, got on a ship, who he thought was just, and maybe they were just carrying barley and wheat, and he got a job as a cabin boy for this ship. They were attacked by pirates. In particular, specifically, the red-eyed pirate named Red Eye, the pirate, gets captured, befriends the first mate, Dodger. They get into another battle, and they capture a strikingly beautiful girl named Emily somebody.
Stevenson.
And instantly it's love at first sight, it's true love, it's all that stuff wrapped into one, butterflies and birds singing and stuff like that. So he falls in love with her. They get into another battle, and Emily and John escape in a way. They get blown off the ship, and they survive by paddling this door. Oh, no, get into a long ship. Eventually, they get into – they're on a door at first, and then they get into a long ship, and they
– longboat.
They get into a port. They realize at the port that there's going to be a hanging. They see that their friend Dodger was going to be hanged. They save him, and then as they see the pirate captain get hung, they both realize Dodger and – John, we're not really sure what Emily's thinking. We haven't really heard too much about what she's thinking or feeling, except that she's in total love with John. But we realize that the pirate that's being hung is not, in fact, Red Eye, the pirate with the red eye. It is some replacement.
Imposter.
And so they decide to go. They make plans to go to get the pirate treasure that John knows where it is. Unbeknownst to them, the pirate captain with the red eye, the captain pirate, was listening and is now on their way and is in fact in front of them setting up traps.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's right.
Good.
Literally the last sentence was, for Red Eye had already took the best boat and was now setting traps for the others.
Okay. All right, good. So now we're back to the story, Unentitled Pirate Story. This is Act Two.
Correct.
When you're ready.
Thank you. Dodger knew where the island was located, and John had the map. With two shovels and John's map, they started their hunt. The terrain was rough, and more than once did the party stumble. As they were getting deeper into the forest, Emily tripped, and her shovel flew 5 yards in front of them before landing. As they hit the...
5 yards?
5 yards.
5 yards, and she's carrying a shovel.
Yeah, because John was carrying the map, and then Dodger and Emily were carrying the shovels.
Okay. All right, it's not just her. For some reason, I thought it was just she was carrying all the supplies. Like, John's like got the map. Like, Dodger's just kind of like there for protection, and she's carrying like all the supplies.
Right.
Well, not so.
Not so.
Maybe. Who knows?
She's at least carrying one shovel.
Right.
Because As they were getting deeper into the forest, Emily tripped and her shovel flew 5 yards in front of them before landing. As it hit the ground, the earth seemed to swallow it. They all ran to see what had happened and found a pit hidden in the ground with wooden spikes protruding upwards at the bottom.
Wow. Quite the trap.
The captain must still be alive, Emily, knowing that it wasn't Red Eye that was hung. How did Emily know? I never established
that. Well, maybe they must have talked. I mean, clearly they talked about it. Right?
But like, this is I think this is a really big jump for Emily. I mean, maybe she's really super smart. But like her being like, oh my God, there's a trap there. And then putting together like, oh, the captain must still be alive, said Emily, knowing that it wasn't Red Eye. Like, she knew the captain was alive. Maybe she's dumb.
Right.
Because she knew maybe the captain was alive already. Now she's saying the captain must be alive.
I'm going with the dumb aspect because clearly she's not thinking. I mean, she knows the captain's alive already. I mean, why on earth is she? Who knows? This is like Dodger must be like, no shit.
Like, right. Like, what are you talking about? Of course the captain's alive. That's what we told you. We said, hey, Emily, by the way, that's not the captain being hung right now because he doesn't have a red eye.
Right. I mean, what can I say? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you wrote the story. Who knows?
I mean, come on.
You have to get inside her head, man.
I was getting inside her head. I guess this is what I imagined a 16-year-old girl.
You're right, you might, as a seventh grader, you might have had a hard time writing female characters. I mean, lots of authors have that kind of problem.
I mean, let's face it. That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
The captain must still be alive, said Emily, knowing that it wasn't Red Eye that was hung. He must be here setting traps for us. Thanks, Emily.
Right. Like, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Captain
really.
Obvious, thank you. She became frightened and ran to John, who calmed
Typical.
Her.
Typical.
We mustn't lose our heads. We must go on, but more carefully. Keep a lookout, said John, taking control.
Nice. Wonder what Dodger thinks about this. You know what I mean? Like, oh my. Dodger's like, I got a bunch of kids, like, they're like all like running, like the girl's dumb as a rock. The guy doesn't seem to know what he's doing. You know, I mean, Dodger must be like, he must be in it only for the money at this point.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, for one, he's a pirate. So, I mean, yes, he's a nice pirate, but let's face it. More and more traps were set up along the route, and the group only missed a few barely escaping with their lives. At last, they came to the cave where the treasure was hidden, and a rush of relief swept over the group. Red Eye leapt. What?
Why were they relieved?
Like, this they finally is clearly... They finally got to where the cave where the treasure was hidden. They like succeeded in getting there without getting killed with all these traps.
Look. We know that the pirate, that Red Eye, the pirate, who has a red eye, we know that he, in fact, is still alive. All three people know that.
Right.
Even Emily knows this. They've established that he has set traps for them.
Right.
That means he's been there before they are.
Right. They got he. Remember, he took the faster ship.
Right. So why would they not be like, oh, he must have the treasure already? Like, we're not going to get any treasure. He took it already. He's there
it's
already.
True. Like, why did he just not? Why did he even bother setting up traps?
I don't know.
He could have just taken the treasure.
That's what I'm not understanding. I mean, this, at this point, they
must
have spent
a lot of time setting up what seems to be a lot of really complicated traps.
I think a mistake. He probably should have took the treasure first.
Well, let's read on. I mean, maybe he did.
Yeah, who knows?
Red Eye leapt out of nowhere like an animal ready for defend its prey. So he's there.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
To get our treasure, boy, you be fighting me first, screamed the pirate in a rough voice that seemed to be announcing their death.
Wait, can I go back? He's the prey. Like, he leaped out like a wild animal defending his prey.
Correct.
Like, I'm not sure that that's the best metaphor to use.
Well, I mean, this is like, you know, a lion has, or lioness.
You're saying like
it's killed. It just killed something. Just killed something. It's eating it. All of a sudden, another lioness comes over I was right. like, hey, I want some of that. And he's like, you got to go through me Fending. First.
Okay. All right. All
right. This is like, imagine the Predator, right? And it's Billy. And Billy's so spooked that he is on the log, right? He's ready to defend.
Right. And then you have to figure out what, you know, what's got Billy so spooked?
What's got Billy so spooked? What's got John so spooked is what we're asking. Or what's got Red Eye so spooked, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
To get our treasure, boy, you'd be fighting me first, screamed the pirate in a rough voice that seemed to be announcing their death.
I like
no,
that.
John, let Dodger fight, yelled Emily.
What? Typical.
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 Like, let John prove himself as a man.
This is John's responsibility, yeah.
It's not Dodger's responsibility. It's not Dodger's treasure.
And what does John have to be thinking? You know what I mean? Like, oh, like, she wants, you know, like, that's not going to make him look any good. Like, his chick over there is like, oh,
I'm not good enough for you, Emily? Is that what you're saying to me?
Like, and Dodger's got to be like, forget this. You know what I mean? Like,
Dodger wants to fight this guy seriously.
He doesn't want to get involved. All of a sudden, this girl is, like, pushing him in front. Ugh.
Ridiculous. Typical 16-year-old girl.
Seriously.
No, John, let Dodger fight, yelled Emily. Aye, John, I be fighting him, Dodger said. No, I will fight, John said, although he was deathly afraid.
Sure.
The pirate swung at the boy with a cutlass. Well, I mean, this might be good. Maybe he'll just pass out and the fight will be over again.
Right. That's exactly right. He'll wake up somewhere else.
That's how he escaped everything else. The pirate swung at the boy with a cutlass, and John grabbed a shovel. The fight was mean, and although... Well, let me just start over, because I got to read this properly. The pirate swung at the boy with a cutlass, and John grabbed a shovel. The fight was mean, and although the pirate was skilled in the use of a cutlass, he could not get near the boy with the swinging shovel. Finally, the pirate stepped back to get away from a blow and found no ground beneath him. He fell and screamed like a horrid banshee that made John's blood run cold. Emily ran over and kissed him. Dodger patted him on the back with a, that'd be showing him.
Wait, so they're on top of a mountain?
They're in a cave.
They're in a cave.
Yeah, it must have been like a crevice.
Oh, wow. Like
a crag.
Yeah.
In the cave. And basically, John just swung the shovel.
Sure. He's a skilled shovel fighter.
Until the pirate Red Eye with the red eye just fell off a cliff.
Well, that's, you know, what you got to do, what you got to do, you know? I mean,
he didn't have much choice. Dodger, he comes over and be like, that'll be shot. Like, he didn't really show him anything.
Why does it have to be a fair fight? Like, there's literally three against one person.
These are gentlemen of fortune. I mean, this is a gentleman's battle.
Yeah, but it's for all this fortune and glory, man.
Yeah, fortune and glory. When they all gained their composure, they set to work to dig the treasure. Counting his steps, John then stopped. When everyone was in the cave, he drove the shovel in the loose sand. Oh, maybe he wasn't in the cave yet.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think they got the red-eyed pirate with the red eye. He jumped out before they got into the cave.
Oh, then they must have been on a mountain and a cliff.
I mean, that's the only other. I mean, unless he fell into one of his own traps.
Well, maybe
he spent so much time digging traps that he didn't dig for his own
treasure. That was his whole problem in the first place. Like, he didn't just take the treasure and move it somewhere else. He literally spent all his time making traps that was the death of him.
Just not focused.
No.
I mean, priorities not set up correctly.
When they all gained their composure, they set to work to dig the treasure. Counting his steps, John then stopped. When everyone was in the cave, he drove the shovel in the loose sand. There was a snap of a rope, and a rock fell, covering the only way out of the cave. Water began to pour in, and John saw how the captain had played his final trick.
I still don't get it.
Even if the captain had failed to get the treasure, he would have no one else take it. The water was up to their knees now and steadily rising. John knew they had to escape. John grabbed a shovel. Grab the shovel. There was only one shovel because they took two shovels. One fell in the thing. The other is this, not all these shovels hanging around. John grabbed a shovel and began pounding against the loose stone. When the water was up to their waist, John and Dodger broke through and the water poured out. The cave was dry again. John then had some awful thought. What if the money was still not there? What if Red-Eye had hid it somewhere? Finally, like, he's thinking, I mean, right. This guy's like, smarter than Red-Eye, obviously. 16-year-old kid can figure this out. An advanced pirate cannot.
I have a strong suspicion that the money is still going to be there. That the treasure is still going
to
be there.
We're just going to have to find out, I guess. I'm sure it'll come out quick because things seem to happen quickly in the story. What if Red-Eye hit it somewhere? John dug furiously until he hit something hard. He used his hands as shovels. With the help of his friends, he uncovered the trunk, brought it out, and lifted the lid. All stood in awe. No one moved. We're rich, cried Dodger. And everyone danced and about, singing and yelling. We're rich. Tell it again, Dad, said the little round-eyed boy. Yes, please, begged the small girl anxiously. Emily winked at her loving husband, John, and said, Uncle Dodger will be here in another day or so. He will tell you the whole story again. Now, off to bed. With that, the two children scurried off to their rooms to dream of pirate adventures.
Oh, what? Look at that. Look at that. All right. So we don't know. I think that's a great ending because we don't know whether or not it was the Emily and the John of the story. Or whether it was just like, this is now modern times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the whole Princess Bride thing. This is just like John and Emily, the mother and father of these two kids.
And he's telling a story. And it just happened to have an uncle named Dodger.
Right. This is a story that they're telling.
Right.
So what do you think the intent? You were the author. What was the intent?
I'm going to leave it up to the reader. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm going with it. It's the John and Emily of the story.
Okay. I mean, I believe as the author, and I don't remember because I actually did not remember that was the ending to the story. I think I was thinking that it was a story created by the father.
Oh, okay. So very Princess Bride-like.
Very Princess Bride-like.
I don't really see any other... You had said there's a lot of influences, but it seems like this is just, I don't know what other kind of influences.
It was Moby Dick, Princess Bride, and.
Did you read Moby Dick in seventh grade?
I never read Moby Dick.
Oh, you saw
it? I tried reading Moby Dick like a couple years ago, but.
There's a lot of stuff about whales.
Yeah, I'd rather just watch the movie. The movie was very influential to me. I liked that sailing stuff. I liked the pirates stuff. Like we had Howard Pyle's Pirates we used to get from the library. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that was very influential to me.
Yeah.
I liked that stuff. And then of course, I don't think I've read what's the Robert Louis Stevenson book? Louis Robert Stevenson, whoever his name is. Treasure Island.
Yeah.
I haven't read Treasure Island in a very long time.
Right.
But I think it's very I think it's very close to this story.
Oh, really?
I think it's very similar.
I've never read. When you're first starting out as an author, you have to draw influences from somewhere.
Sure.
I mean, I thought it was a pretty good story for a seventh grader.
Yeah, it's probably because it was the same story that Robert Louis Stevenson told.
Well, so let's get to the heart of the matter. You wrote this for extra credit.
Yes.
For Mr. Paul's class.
Yes.
Did you get the extra credit?
I did. I got extra credit. Now, what? I don't know how much extra credit, but I got some extra credit on it.
It's a pretty good story.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
I enjoyed it.
You were in the story?
I was into it, yeah. I would have liked to have maybe some of the characters fleshed out a little bit more.
Sure.
I thought maybe the character of Emily was a little two dimensional.
Sure.
Maybe have her, get a little bit more inside her head.
I think most of the characters are two dimensional, really. I mean, John was interesting. There were some interesting things to John. But
towards the end, John got a little bit interesting.
Right.
You know, but I think overall, I thought it was a good story.
Thanks, man.
I would give you extra credit.
Thanks. I'm pretty sure that I also had to, like, I remember, like, being in class and Mr. Paul was like, does anybody have extra credit? Like, because you had to write, like, a big story. Like, I think it had to be, like, 12 pages or something.
How many pages was that?
I don't know. It was probably around that. I mean, it was, who knows? It's old. The paper is literally the paper that used to have, like, the, you tore off the,
right, the sides.
Perforated edges on the sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the back like horizontal lines of like green and like white?
No, it's definitely not like that, but it's definitely the edges were perforated.
Right.
So it's not like a real thing. It looks like a double space. I mean, it's barely 12 pages if it's 12 pages.
Still, I don't think I didn't write 12 pages in
You never had to write extra credit.
That's true. I don't remember you writing that at all either.
I remember having to like hand it in and be like, Mr. Paul's like, did anybody write like a 12 page story for extra credit? And me being like the only one.
Right.
Everybody just kind of looking at me like, oh. You spent your time writing 12 pages of a story.
But you wanted the extra credit.
Well, I wanted the extra credit because he was giving me like C's.
That guy, unbelievable.
I remember. This is what the class was like. I don't know if anybody had Mr. Paul out there in podcast land, but like, you would come into class, he would have grammar like rules written on the board.
Right.
You would take out your notebook and start copying the rules into your notebook. That was class. That's how he taught class. And then he would give you an assignment.
Right.
And that was your homework.
I think we did, if it was the same, if it's a teacher I'm thinking about, because I don't remember who we had. I had it in eighth grade either, so I might have been on the literary magazine in eighth grade, in seventh.
I don't know. I don't remember who did I have for. I don't remember having English in eighth grade.
I mean, we clearly did.
But who was it? I don't remember any English teachers. Then Mr. Paul and Mrs. I think it was Mrs. Koch. Mrs. Koch. Mrs.
It was like Koch. It was cock. No, not cook. Cock. No, cook. I don't know what it was. It was K-O-C-H.
What a great name to have in middle school. Like, that's not the teaching name that you want in sixth grade.
No. I don't know if that was that sixth grade?
That was sixth grade.
I don't remember.
That was sixth grade because in that class, I beat Nate Boswick in arm wrestling.
I thought Gary was in our class.
Was in our class. Nate Boswick was in our class. It was like Nate
Wish was
Clemens
in our class.
Was in Nate our Clemens class? In,
yeah.
Matt. Oh, what was that guy's name? Matt somebody.
Ensminger?
Was Ensminger? No, Ensminger was not in our class. Matt Santoro.
Santana.
Isn't it Santonio? I knew something
was
Santonio.
It's close enough.
That guy was in our class. He was funny.
Yeah, I don't think he was in high school? Was he in our high school?
I don't think he got to high school with us. He left or dropped out or something.
Okay.
But I beat Nate. I beat Nate Boswick in arm wrestling, and he was so shocked.
Yeah.
Like, amazed, because no one ever, like, he was, like, the strongest kid.
Right.
And so I beat him in arm wrestling, and he came back the next day, and he had practiced, like, all night arm wrestling with his brother. And he's like, I want to arm wrestle you again. I was like, okay. And, like, he beat me.
Right.
But I was like, okay. And he was like, whew. Like, his, like, reputation was, like, saved.
Right. Right. I remember you beating Nate Boswick in slap boxing, too.
Oh, he was so pissed. He started the slap boxing turned into real boxing because he got pissed. Oh, boy.
Well, that's good. It's good story time at the Shodcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish we had more stories, but we're going to have to deal with just that one, unfortunately.
I don't know where my – I have more stories. I just don't know where they are at the moment.
Well, we'll have story time next time or some other time, actually, because you will never find those stories. I had stories, too. I lost some. This is the only story I kept. Obviously, this is the only story.
Well, it's the only story worth keeping.
Right. Mr. Paul, extra credit. All right. Well, that's the Shodcast for this week. Second part of the Untitled Pirate Story. I'm Brady.
I'm Brian.
Hold fast.